A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Samach Zayin, Baba Basra 67a. Pagination is 133. We start from the Mishnah, three lines from the top. We encountered regarding the sale of a house all kinds of questions as to what exactly is included in the house. Things that are truly affixed. So, depending on the culture, but we could discuss ovens, refrigerator, air conditioner, whether it's a wall unit or it's central air conditioning, window treatments, mezuzahs, bulbs. Maybe he has special energy-saving bulbs and he wants to switch it with other bulbs that are cheaper. All kinds of questions like these are included and very relevant in the question of selling a house. The Pischei Choshen in Kinyonim, Perek Yudalid, has an extensive discussion, footnotes Nun Ches and Samach Hei, regarding this. Even in the straightforward presentation of the Gemara, without getting into later poskim and practical discussions, we did find by bias right away the discussion that what's in the airspace of the house itself is being sold, but unless a special inclusion is done, the area above and below is not necessarily included, and certainly, which is our topic, Bor Vidus, the pit holding water, is not going to be included unless a special inclusion is designated. Our Mishnah says, Hamocheres HaChotzer, when you sell a yard, though, Mochar batim boros sichin ma'oros, you are including the house that's on the premises, the pit, and other types of storage areas. That's the nature of the chotzer. As the Rashbam, three lines into the wide lines at the bottom part of the page, three lines down, states explicitly, Afal gavda hamocheres habayis lo machar borasichin ma'oros, even though it's true that when you sell a house, you're not included in these pits, legabe b'chotzer, mi'o b'teilim v'nibkarim b'chlal chotzer, when it comes to a yard, they're not considered significant in distinction from the yard. It's part of the yard, and it gets sold with. Avalois hametaltalim, the Mishnah continues, but he's not selling the movable objects. Bizman she'omar lohu v'chol masha besocho, if he said, I'm selling the yard and everything that's within it, harei kulan mechurin, then indeed everything is sold with it. Benkach u'benkach, but even so, lo mocha lo asamerchatz v'lo asbeis habad, if there's a bathhouse or a pressing area, a house to press olives or grapes, that's not sold. Shebesocha, that's in it, even though it's there, it's not considered sold because in that regard, those things have such significance that they have their own independence. The Rashbam raises a very interesting question. It is about eight lines down in the wide lines, right before the Gemara. He says it really as a statement. He says, "Vidomim modiim lekolameimar," and the money should be an indicator, cannot be said over here. We have a principle that sometimes the amount of money that a person pays indicates what kind of quality he's buying or how extensive his purchase is. so that if a person paid an enormous amount of money for a car, the working assumption is that the car is not 1 foot on the way out, so to speak, because the money indicates the type of quality that you're expecting. Likewise, if a person pays an exorbitant amount of money for a piece of real estate, the Rashbam is wondering, why can't that amount of money indicate that he's getting all kinds of additional things that you're not quite sure about? They are being included because damim modiim. Why can't you say the money is an indicator? And the Rashbam answers, the ein ona'a likarkaos, because there's no ona'a when it comes to real estate. Real estate is something that fluctuates greatly in price depending on what the person is willing to pay for it. Land cannot be moved from place to place. The expression regarding land is that its value is based on location, location, location. And it does follow different principles. What the Rashbam is referring to by this answer is that the principle of damim modiim is really based on the concept of ona'a. The rule of ona'a is that a person is not allowed to take advantage of the other person's ignorance regarding the value of the product. It's often described that a seller is taking advantage of the buyer. We can give that an illustration, but it really could be the other way around as well. If you have an immigrant, he doesn't know how much a can of soda is supposed to cost, and you charge him $10 for the can of soda, and then he walks down the street and finds out that you could buy a can of soda for $1.25 or $2, or if you go into a supermarket, you could get it for 33 cents. He comes back and he says, you aggrieved me. You took advantage of my ignorance. He is able to nullify the sale. We had a whole discussion when we did this topic. How exactly do you figure out the true market value of the product? It has to be comparable. It has to be a place that's providing the same type of service, same type of product, etc. But ultimately, there is ona'a by movable objects. When it comes to real estate, in general, there's no ona'a. And therefore, the Rashbam writes that by movable objects, you could use damim modiim as an indicator what was really being sold based on realistic value, because it has to be within realistic value in order to maintain the sale. Otherwise, it's ona'a. When it comes to karka, real estate, being that there is no ona'a, you can't argue, you must have meant to include whatever, because he can answer, no, I was just charging you a very high price, because there is no ona'a by karka. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.